Kia ora, Kosti Tokawingawa. I work in the airline industry, so arrivals and departures are my bread and butter. My story tonight is about building a bridge. Let's step back in time. It was 1974 in Blenheim. I was a young fella, 17. Don't do the maths, please. School just wasn't working for me. It was time for me to depart the education system and arrive in the workforce. One of my first jobs was on a construction site in the Wairau Valley, building a bridge over the Waihopi River. Health and safety back in 1974 wasn't a buzzword. And while I was there, I saw several severe injury accidents and quite a few near permanent departures, including one of mine. There's a lot of steel and a lot of concrete in a bridge, and a lot of it is actually right down in the riverbed. That's what you build the bridge on. This is a story about one of those bridge piles. It was about 8 feet round, lined in steel, and about 60 feet deep into the riverbed. This was before the metric system was invented, so in today's money, that's about 2.5 metres by 18 or 19 metres. You dig this hole, clean it out, then you fill it up with reinforcing steel and concrete, and then you build the rest of the bridge on it. We had one of these bridge piles ready to go, and the river flooded. And instead of filling it up with concrete and steel, it filled it up with water, obviously, and a whole lot of gravel. When the river receded, we had to clean this out. So we bring in a crane, and the crane has a big grab hook on it, and it digs most of the gravel out of the hole, except for about the last 4 or 5 feet. That had to be dug out by hand. Why? I don't know. I was only 17. I wasn't a foreman. I just did what I was told. Well, most of the time anyway. So how did we do that? We bring the crane in again and had two wire ropes hanging off it. They were about an inch round and they were covered in grease to stop them rusting and wearing out prematurely. On one of these wire ropes, there was a big pump and that was pumped all the water out of the hole and kept the water that was coming in the bottom underneath the steel liner at bay. And in the other rope was a 44-gallon drum with the top cut out of it. And in that drum was young Arthur and me. We had thigh-high waders on to keep the water at bay, hard hat, health and safety, and a shovel each. And we get lowered down this hole. Now, 18 metres isn't a lot if you step it out across the stage or something, but when you're getting lowered down into a riverbed, into an 8-feet-round hole, it's actually quite a long way. And as we're getting lowered down and you're looking up, we had a spotter at the top and his job was to keep an eye on us and make sure we're safe. So we're getting lowered down, it's getting dimmer and dimmer and the head is getting smaller and smaller at the top. Anyway, we get on with the job, we get out of the drum and we start digging this gravel out, putting it into the 44-gallon drum and it gets full, it gets lifted out, emptied, dropped back down, rinse and repeat. For about an hour and a half we were doing this. The bucket was full, it was getting lifted out, and I said to young Arthur, I was only 17, whatever. Anyway, I said to him, I think we're nearly at the bottom, and I got my shovel and I pushed it up against the side of the steel liner and dug down, and sure enough, I got right in underneath the steel liner, and I said, we've reached the bottom. Well, unbeknown to me, behind the steel liner was a huge volume of water sitting there, just waiting. And when I pulled the shovel out, it opened up the hole and the water started gushing in at an alarming rate. The pump couldn't keep up and the water was rising very, very rapidly. Arthur and I started hollering out to our spotter. We looked up, he wasn't there, he'd gone away to powder his nose. So we thought, well, what do we do? And the only option out we had was this greasy wire rope, and I thought, well, that ain't gonna work. Arthur had different ideas and he took this huge leap from behind me and grabs a hold of this greasy wire rope and he's going up it like a monkey going up a vine. I'm gobsmacked. I think, how's he doing that? And I couldn't compete with him. The water kept coming up, right up, and it was getting up above my chest. And I thought, well, here we go. I'm not going to get buried 6 foot under. I'm going to get drowned 50 feet under. The water stopped. Spoiler alert, I didn't drown. And the pump started to win the battle, and the water level slowly went back down, and so did Arthur. He came sliding back down. The eyes like saucers. Mine probably were as well. Anyway, the bells rung. So to cut a long story short, our spotter turns up, and after a lot of noise, he drops the bucket back down. We get in and we get lifted out, and I'm sitting on a log up the top there, nervous cigarette, trying to dry out, pointing out the roles and responsibilities and expectations of a spotter's job to the spotter. When the boss came wandering over and wanted to know what all the noise was about, and he wasn't having a bar of the fact that we'd just about drowned down that hole, and said to us, it's not smoko time, get back to work. 10 minutes later, Arthur and I, back in the drum, back down the hole. I didn't stay at that job very long. I left there to go down to Twizel to drive earth moving equipment for the Ministry of Works, but as they say, that's a story for another night. Thank you.